Well, each new year for the first few weeks, at least the first month, I like to bring inspirational messages, something that will help us to open our eyes a little wider and focus a little more directly on what the Lord would have us to do. And today's message will be on the thought of building up God's house. And we look in Nehemiah for this, and what we'll do, we'll just read the first four verses of Nehemiah chapter 1, and then pray. The words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Kislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left over of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Well, let us pray just now. Father, we thank you for your word, your holy word. It's been preserved for so long, and we have it here today, and these things were written for our example. And so we pray, Lord, that we would gain examples from all the things we find in Nehemiah's life and those that helped him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, that we might be inspired, Lord, to build up your house here this year with great enthusiasm and unity of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, Nehemiah's name means comforted of God. And it's interesting how God allowed not only his prophets, but many other people to fulfill their names. That God somehow inspired by the Spirit that they were named at birth according to his will. And God comforted Nehemiah's heart after he was so broken here to hear about his beloved city and moreover the city of God, Jerusalem. God comforted Nehemiah in allowing him to return and build the walls of Jerusalem. Now, we want to look at some things concerning Nehemiah's character that we could follow after that would help us in building up God's house here. Nehemiah came behind Ezra 14 years later and helped to restore civil authority and to build up the walls, because before you could begin to build temple life, the temple, rebuild it, and the temple life, you had to rebuild the walls and secure that. And so that's what Nehemiah did. Well, the first thing we find out about Nehemiah that we could imitate is the fact that he had great faith. He was out of God's land, there in the land of captivity in Persia, but he was not out of God's will. His heart was with God and with his covenant people, and his heart was with the covenant city. Jerusalem is a covenant city. We're told in Psalms to expressly pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the reason is because it's the city of God. It's not only the capital of Israel, it is the capital, the world capital, and shall be for 1,000 years in the millennium. And Nehemiah had great faith. Notice firstly Nehemiah's place in the Persian kingdom. There in verse 1, it tells us that he was in the palace. But who was Nehemiah? He was just a captive. But yet he finds himself in the palace. And more importantly, we notice the second thing, not only his place, but his position in the kingdom. He was, verse 11 tells us, he was the king's cupbearer. So God in his sovereignty had placed him there, but Nehemiah wasn't just a nobody or anybody. He was a faithful body. He was a faithful man of God, a faithful servant. And the Lord will take faithful people that just abide in the simple things as they walk in their journey with the Lord, and he'll put them in the places where he wants them to be. And we often wonder, Why has God placed me here? Why am I in this place? If you'll ask yourself that question enough times, you'll get the answer. It'll come to you. God's got you there for a reason. So we just need to learn that wherever we are, wherever God's placed us, in John's 75-year timeline right here, God's got him right where he wants with fairly good shoes on his feet. And so he can walk and put out the gospel. No matter where we are, he has a plan and purpose. And we never need to lose faith. And we never need to think that God is through with us. Now, you can mess up in sin. You can fall. But the wisest man in the Bible said that a just man falls six times, but he picks himself up. You see, he doesn't give up, but he gets right with God and keeps going forward. So by faith, you need to realize God can restore you from any fall that you have, and that you're never unusable, and that he can, if you get right with him, repent, he will use you. And we just need to have that faith. We sometimes think, you know, God no longer has any use for me. It might be that you're just with your family or whatever it is, with your workmates or wherever. Wherever we find ourselves, we need to exercise great faith in God that he can use us where we are. So God put Nehemiah right next to the king. And he was able to affect the king's heart, not only to let Nehemiah go back, but it had a great effect on the opportunity to rebuild the entire city. Another thing that Nehemiah had was great concern for the work of God. In verse 3, his kinsmen or fellow Hebrews came, and it says they told him that the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, that is of Judah, are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now in verse 4, and it says, and he says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You see, he had a great concern for the work of God, and that's why God was able to use him. So when we have great faith and a great concern for the work of God, we're beginning to get our ducks in a row. And that's an interesting little thing to see. Mother duck and all the other little babies queued up behind her just waddling on, and because the mother's out front leading. And they have great faith in mom, don't they? When we have a concern for the work of God, that's when things really begin to take off. Nehemiah knew that no problem was too big for the God of heaven. He wasn't just the God of the Jews. He wasn't just God of the earth, but he was the God of heaven. And so we just need to recognize that God has a work here on earth for us, and that no matter what country we are from or what country we're in, we can have a great effect on the kingdom of God. But we're looking at building up the house of God. That's what Nehemiah's ultimate aim was. They had to start with the wall to, you know, bring about security. But the ultimate aim was to restore the temple and temple life and the liturgy and the sacrifices. And he looked to God for help. And so when we're concerned about the work, we stay in communication with God. And God's house here can only be built up through a deep concern that God's house is not yet completely full. And we have this verse in the New Testament. I don't have the reference, but Jesus said in his parable, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be full. So, we look around here and we don't see a full house, do we? We did one day. We had 130 people in this building. A few of you remember that. Another American was speaking, a New Yorker, Jacob Presch. And we hosted him, but many people came to hear this Messianic Jew. We find that there's just a real lack of concern with being at God's house and being involved in the things that God wants us to be involved in. But Nehemiah had a great concern that house be restored, and we just need to keep that concern and asking and praying to God what we can do to help, and being in touch here with this local assembly, and how we can work together to bring in the lost. You know, putting out the gospel literature is number one, that coupled with prayer. But most people are afraid to come into a place unless they know someone already there or someone can go with them. And so sometimes we have to be that friend. But Nehemiah had great faith, and he had a great concern for the work, and he had a great passion for the work. It's one thing to have a concern for something, another thing to have a passion for it. Concern, that's paramount. A passion, that's sort of like a bonus. But I think the passion comes from past experience and seeing the blessing of the Lord as we labor for Him as His servants. You know, it's a wonderful thing that when God saved us, we became His sons. We were a son of Adam, and we inherited all the curses and mortality and everything that came from Adam. But through Jesus, we inherited immortality, and we inherited many things. Adam was called the son of God. When we're reborn again, we're called the sons of God. But not only are we called sons, we are called servants. And I know when I ask my children in my house to do something, their face does not show servanthood usually. It shows, what is the word, they'll go along with this, okay? All right, I'm not going to resist you, Dad. I'll just do this, you know. But what any parent's looking for and what God is looking for from His people, from His servants, is enthusiasm. Or not enthusiasm, we'll get to that. He's looking for passion. There in verse number 5... Nehemiah prayed. He says, "I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and that observe His commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night." See the nonstop prayer, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And then over in chapter 2, verse 5, he says in his prayer to God, another prayer, "Send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." So his forefathers were buried right outside the city of Jerusalem, which shows heritage. His heritage, he's telling God, my heritage is in Jerusalem. And that was his passion, was that he's carrying on the work of his forefathers. And so Nehemiah had a great passion for the work of God. And he had this passion was seen in his passionate prayers. Notice how he confessed the sins of his own people. There is collective prayers like that. He had a passion that all of his people would be able to resume the temple life. But fervent prayer is work, and it can only come out of a great passion to see God's house built up and flourishing, to see His house full. Nehemiah had great faith. He had great concern for the work of God. He had a great passion for the work of God. And he also had great confidence in God. In chapter 2, there at the end of verse 8, Nehemiah says, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of God upon me." Part of Nehemiah's confidence was that he knew God's hand was upon him. And I hope for each and every one of you that at some time in your life, not only once, but many times, you've recognized God's hand was upon you for good. No matter what where you were in your walk with God, that you saw that his hand was upon you for good, to walk in good, to perform the will of the Lord. And that is really such an amazing thing. When you recognize that God's hand is upon you for good, it builds your confidence. It helps you see that whatever you're involved in for him, that you're not in it alone. There's nothing worse than thinking that you have to go it alone to do much of anything. And so it's good to know that his hand's upon you. And Nehemiah's confidence comes from that. We find the phrase, the good hand of the Lord, several times in the book of Nehemiah. There in chapter 2, verse 20, Nehemiah says, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us." You see the confidence? "Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build." And I'll just break off right there because the thought changes. But he says, "We will prosper. God will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build." He had great confidence. Nehemiah also said in chapter 4, verse 19, Nehemiah said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another." He's saying that this work is so great, you know, we're beyond yelling distance of each other. That, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, and those walls have expanded over the centuries, but nonetheless, it was a significant size there. And it's a great work that God has, even not only for us collectively as a local assembly, but individually, the work he has prepared for us is a great and large work. It can be overwhelming when we think about things that God has given us in the past, things he's given us to do now, things we're anticipating. We see, how can we do these things? But God will provide. It's after all, it's his work. He supplies everything that's needed, and we're just a worker. I worked in construction for 6 years right out of high school, and we built houses, and the man with the plan supplied everything, bricks, nails, wood, you know, every single thing. So we don't have to worry about God's supply. We need to take confidence that as well, that supply will come when it's needed. And we've just discussed about supplying Nurse Jane with things necessary to carry on. She could have easily, with the things that transpired in Vanuatu, said, "Well, my time here is up," and returned here. But she actually is beginning a new ministry, and from Jamie's description, it's probably a much harder ministry. But yet she's carrying on with great confidence in the Lord. She doesn't have many supporting churches. I don't think she finds great confidence there, but she does find great confidence in God. And we can find our confidence in him that he will do for us. Look at chapter 4, verse 20. Look at the confident words of Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, "In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither, go there," and he says, "unto us, and God shall fight for us." So, as we see in the next point, you know, that they had opposition. And so they had confidence that even in the midst of the things that they were encountering, the hindrances, that they could accomplish the job that God had given to them. So we here at FBC, Friendship, we need to have confidence in God. And it's easy to say, well, this hasn't worked, so we'll stop doing that. Let's try something different. But sometimes we just need to keep on doing what God's told us to do, and in his perfect timing, he will come through. Faith plus prayer equals confidence. So we need to operate in faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we walk prayerfully, continually prayerfully, and therein is our confidence. Nehemiah began his work in prayer, chapter 1, verse 4. He continued his work in prayer, chapter 4, verse 9. And he did not cease to pray at the end of his work, chapter 13, verse 31. Because there he says, "Remember me, O my God, for good." After God had had his good hand upon Nehemiah and allowed Nehemiah to accomplish rebuilding the walls, Nehemiah continues to have confidence that God's hand will be upon him for good. Nehemiah's prayer life in the rebuilding of the city walls reveals to us the need to depend upon God from start to finish in everything that we attempt to do for Him. Prayer is so vital. Now, we see the many different great things Nehemiah had, great faith, great concern for the work, a great passion, great confidence. He was also met with great opposition. Chapter 2, verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly, these two men, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Well, 3 years ago, this work began of having a church on the doorstep of the Jewish community. The heart of the Jewish community is just right next door. We're on the doorstep seeking the welfare of the children of Israel. And we go out and we give out gospel literature to Jews and Gentiles. We're not overlooking either. The gospel is to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. Most of the church thinks that the gospel is to the Gentiles and to the Jews if we can find time. No, it's to both alike. They're never to be forgotten. And God's plan works from that. And God will help in helping us overcome all the opposition that comes to us. In chapter 4, verse 1, we find that this opposition was nothing more than ridicule. We also know that there were some papers issued and that the building was stopped. Okay, we do know that. So that's real opposition. The church that we're from in America, our sending church, was about 25 or 30 years old in a residential area, but it had all this vacant property around it. And when they got ready to rebuild a bigger church, and requirements were that they had to build a sufficient car park for it. And the city council would not approve the plans. Even after they started to build, then they stopped them. And this went on for about 5 years before they finally approved for them to build. And so we can see that such opposition can come, may come, that it actually keeps us from getting the work done. But sometimes it's nothing more than ridicule. Chapter 4, verse 1. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." Just a little bit of mockery, a little bit of discouragement, and they thought that could work. "The enemy sought to hinder, and they also created fear in the hearts of the remnant, but Nehemiah led them to walk in the fear of the Lord." Chapter 5, verse 9. To walk in the fear of the Lord rather than the fear of man. And the fear of man usually is what keeps us from doing what God has called us to do. Probably right before that is laziness of the flesh. We tend not to want to go the extra mile to really make sacrifices. But we need to get over that. Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And part of that weakness of the flesh is fear. But we need to fear God rather than men. And mentioning opposition and mockery, just this past week, I received a second email from a Jewish man that received our literature. And, you know, he said, "You're fake, this is fake, and your beliefs are fake, three fake things." It said one other sentence in there, just a type of mockery, a type of ridicule, you know. And that kind of thing can get to you where you think, well, these people, they're really, you know, Israel has a special blindness and a special hardness of heart. So they're not like just anybody. They have these two things going against them. But after all, it doesn't matter how specially blinded they are. Unless God opens the eyes, no one can see. And the Bible specifically says many times that only God opens the ear. It's God, the psalm says, that God planteth the ear. So it's up to God to touch our ears that we can hear, to touch our heart to believe, to open our eyes to see. And so we don't worry about ridicule that comes from any people group that we're trying to reach. Is that God is able to overcome that. After all, He is Savior. None of us can save ourselves. None of us can see past our hand. We can't see our future. Sadly, the Jewish people cannot see their future apart from Messiah. If they could, they would run to Him. Nehemiah, though he was met with great opposition, Nehemiah also had great enthusiasm. Now, we've talked about concern, we've talked about passion, now we're talking about enthusiasm. They are related, but they're different. Nehemiah called other people to work with him and accomplish his task. And the people found confidence in Nehemiah. People will follow a confident leader. Chapter 4, verse 6, the people had a mind to work. Okay? What it's telling us is they were enthusiastic. They didn't say, oh, we've got to do this. No, they really found enthusiasm. And chapter 2, verse 18, they said, let us rise up and build. So maybe Nehemiah said at first, let us rise up and build. And they recited the words back to him. Let us rise up and build. They had a great enthusiasm. And they caught it from Nehemiah. So we need to be reminded that all Christians face some form of discouragement, but you might be the person in your enthusiasm for the things of God that you might cause another to find enthusiasm where they were lacking a bit. So we can be an encouragement to one another and increase each other's enthusiasm. Chapter 2, verse 18, it says, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. They strengthened their hands. You can see the enthusiasm. You've seen these martial arts artists in Far East, or the old Bruce Lee movies where they put their hands in hot burning coals or whatever, or hot water, you know, whatever it is, and they toughen their hands up to where that desensitizes them to pain. I don't know if that works or if that's just in the movies or that was Bruce Lee's idea. I don't know if anyone actually does that, but we know that that we need to strengthen our hands for the work of God, and many hands make light work. In most churches, 20% of the people do 80% of the work, but it should be the other way around. There's much to do. And it doesn't matter what task we perform, they're all important in God's work. Well, as we go about our daily business for the King, we must have our swords strapped on our side. That's what Nehemiah and the people of Israel did. The people of Jerusalem did. Chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, we'll read this. It might be familiar to you, but as we close out, this is a good point for us to dwell on. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side and so builded. We need to carry our sword by our side. And Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that the sword of the Lord is the word of God. That the written word, we have this written word and the spoken word. And these are vital. In our work, we need to have Scripture memorized, be able to have the spoken word. We need the written word to leave with people. We leave people with a gospel tract. Have that sword by your side wherever you go. That is they had these two weapons, you know. They had the trial, the mason's tool in one hand and the sword in the other. Chapter 4, verse 15, looking at the people's enthusiasm, Nehemiah says, "We returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work." We all have a work of God. Some of us, you know, have works far outside this church. We have works in various countries. Dennis has traveled to 3 different countries recently, and we can, our ministries can take us just further than down the road. Our ministries can take us all over the world. And that's something from right here, we can do so much. We can preach the gospel in the highest hill of Vanuatu. When we give and we buy one of these little gospel machines, we send it over and we're supplying the gospel to people that Jane just cannot reach. Her work is taking care of the physical needs of the people and showing the love of God and opening their hearts to receive the word. And she's a one-man show, really. And so this is an incredible opportunity that she can have this machine that while she's busy mending flesh wounds and so forth, people are getting their spiritual wounds mended with this little gospel machine or gospel gadget. And what a wonderful day we live in when so many opportunities are out there for us to affect not only those around us, but those throughout the world. And look at the completion of the wall, chapter 6, verse 15. "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days." That's how long it took them to build the wall. 52 days. This typifies the victory that comes when we submit ourselves to God, to His Spirit, and we come together in unity. They finished the wall. Not Nehemiah finished the wall. They finished the wall. And they did it in unity. And all our work needs to be done in unity together. Unity of spirit, unity of doctrine in many ways. We can't all be 100% all on the same page. You cannot get 2 independent Baptists to agree on every single little matter. But we can have a certain unity in the fundamentals of the faith. If we have those 5 fundamentals, that's paramount. And I believe having the right word of God, that we're not... that we have all the Bible, not some of it. You must realize all your modern versions cut out at least some verses. They're just missing verses. So you at least want a Bible that's got all the verses in it. And so if you want to complete the work of God, you've got to have a complete Bible. And in the King James, I find it over and over again, more than complete. There's so much for us in that. Now, Nehemiah had great faith. He had a great concern for the work, a great passion for the work, great confidence in God, great enthusiasm. And if we can ourselves can follow this pattern, yes, some days we're going to have a little less concern than we should have, but the next day you need to have double concern. We need to get on track. We've only got a few more days to labor. That's exciting. Jesus said the night comes when no man can work. So what's actually happening the closer to Jesus coming is the more difficult the work is going to be. In fact, it's going to become to the point where there is no more gospel work to be done. Jesus said so. The night cometh when no man can work. And so we don't see anything hindering us now from working. It's the day, right? While it's called the day. That's another scripture. We work while it's called the day. And much work to be done. And we'll just go before the Lord now and ask Him to help us in this work of building this little house. And we can also help in building other houses. God's got a house in Vanuatu and He wants that house filled. And we'll just pray to that end. But let's stand before the Lord and pray and ask Him for help in building up His house. Father, we thank You for the great challenge that has come to us through the life of Nehemiah. Particularly, we remember the words of Jesus Himself when He said to go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that his father's house might be full. And Father, this house has only been full one time. But we know, Father, that we here today are blessed and others are missing out on the blessing. We pray for those like Sonia right now is battling a physical ailment, and as well as Sylvester and her husband. And we just pray for a great grace to be upon them. And like Nehemiah, may your good hand be upon them for good. And so bless and restore Sonia and help her to be restored in body and build her up. And many others here, particularly all these in the over 50 club, we could all use a little extra strength of body. But Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to make the use of what body we have and to use it for your glorious. God, you do use broken vessels. They don't have to be perfect and polished. They can be cracked and have holes in them, but you can still use them by your Holy Spirit. Help us to see that each and every one of us has something we can do for you in these last days. There's much work to be done, and we don't need to be found with empty hands. So, Lord, fill our hands, fill our heads with the plan, the work that you have for us to do, and set our feet in the right path that they may go, that we wouldn't be concerned about other paths we don't need to be on, but just be concerned with the path of the shepherd as he leads us into the work that is set for us wherever we are. We just thank you for your goodness in saving us. Help us to be concerned with building up the faith and confidence of the believers, of the saints, as well as going out to the lost and telling them and taking gospel literature with us as we go and leaving people with the good word of God. In Jesus' good name we pray. Amen.